Perfect Place Radio. We about to go live on Mike Knox. That's for 3X. It's gonna be hardcore. Are y'all ready? I go by the name Fred Knox. We about to give y'all something special. You ready?
Listen, guys, welcome back to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and your host, Chris Platt, the real CP Platt, that is, on the Twitter, guys. This is the night after part one and part two of WrestleMania, guys. Again, I am your host, Mike Knox, and already you know how I spell my name, but that's with three X's. But you already know that. And like I said, you can find him, that is, the real CP Platt, on the Twitter, wherever social media, so as well is your podcast, our heart radio, where you are, so are we. And this is where barbershop talk meets radio, people. And I just got to say this, I'm going to jump right into this, Chris. And that is part two of last night's WrestleMania. Just to give you my review, short and speaking, and then talk about it piece by piece. And just quickly, Chris, I enjoyed the night. I will say this again, I thought by a little bit that it was better than night one, and I will say and tell you those reasons why later. But I thought overall, both nights were hovering around a four. Okay, I gave the first night a 4 out of 5, I believe, so did you too. I might dial that back a little, give my overall grade a 3.75, and give last night a 4 out of 5. And I'll tell you why later, Chris, but I thought and highly enjoyed night two of WrestleMania from an in-ring. And what I've always said from people from the beginning, what I've always been a staple of here on the BDSR Radio Network, Perfect Flex Talk Radio, Fox Sports 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, and thechairshot.com, hashtag, use your head. That is, hashtag, wrestling is storyline, Chris.
Well, first and foremost, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to be back. And I'll agree with you, Mike, on that I certainly enjoyed the night. And I'm feeling the effects from enjoying the night. I'm hungover. We certainly partied as if we were there in Tampa for WrestleMania.
Right.
Now, when it comes to the actual WrestleMania itself in part two, it was a mid. It was. Night one, much, much better than night two. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was maybe just I started to feel fatigue from empty arena matches. I don't know what it was. It just
Okay, what about last night? Besides the fact that, as you said, the night of not having fans, you know, not being there, was there something else from, and before we get into the matches, was there something else missing from that?
I can't say there was something else. Well, obviously the fans, yes. But the matches just didn't hit for me like they did on night one. And maybe it was the, I don't know, maybe, again, it was just fatigue. Maybe it was because...
Was it that right there? The WrestleMania new attendance record of zero people in the building? Could that have possibly been the reason why it felt that way? I mean, I saw that this morning. That's not mine. That's Nietzsche's, okay? And I had to share it with you guys, all right? The new attendance record was zero last night. I thought that was very funny, Chris.
No, that's hilarious. Are you kidding me? That's hilarious. And, I mean, all the men and women, they've worked extremely hard to try to entertain us and put on a show, but it just didn't hit like night one. What you want me to do? I'm sorry.
I thought it hit very, very well. Again, guys, make sure you share this with your various wrestling groups. They're everywhere. Shout out to the Wrestling Council. Shout out to, like I said, thechairshot.com. Hashtag use your head. Make sure you go follow them as well at thechairshot. And also Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. And on the Twitter at Fox Sports 1340. At 1340 AM Fox Sports. But again, I enjoyed this. And I thought night one and two was great. But let's talk about night two, shall we, Chris? Which started off, okay? Because, hey, do not come at me right now, okay? Don't come at me, all right? Because you know, and I know, she is the greatest women's wrestler of all time. Woo! Charlotte Flair wins. But I say this much to you. As that beautiful robe. Oh, that beautiful robe. Okay. She didn't need to win. You talked about yesterday, Chris, that she would, if anything, they would give the win because of the whole maybe taking some ratings from AEW, if they could, by having her on that program. But overall, did she need to win the match? Maybe not. But I thought the match itself was really god darn good. And we talked about also the difference in women wrestlers. And I think this has always been there sometimes, as this is the show for the intelligent wrestling fans. You fans forgot to use your intelligence. And we've gone from Mae Young and the fabulous, we cannot say her name, to Miss Elizabeth, to Woman, to Sensational Sherry, to Alundra Blaze, to Gail Kim, and the list goes on and on, to Ivory, to Jazz, the greatest women's heavyweight champion of all time, in my opinion, okay? Shout out to Jazz, friend of the program, all right? But women evolve, and they become different kind of wrestlers, and these two girls, and I saw this from last night especially, Rhea Ripley is a girl that can go in that ring and go in that ring with Charlotte. Like, to me, nobody other than maybe a Natty, Sasha, or Bayley. And I'm putting that in my top list for these women that can go inside that square circle with a coming in fifth. And I can't forget her because she is Black History, of Bianca Blair. We'll talk about her later as well, Chris. But this match especially, Chris.
Oh, no, no, most definitely. This match was excellent. Both these women worked hard. They had good chemistry together, and they put on a hell of a match. I, too, obviously was surprised by the finish. I didn't see the queen going over, but one of my takeaways from night two was that, whereas night one, I feel like a few of the results were changed because of circumstances, I felt like this was spot on, and this and the results of night two's action were exactly what was going to happen,
okay,
regardless if there were fans there or not.
I see that too.
But these women, they worked hard. They had great chemistry. I'd like to see them go at it again.
I think
to the delicious Rhea Ripley for her WrestleMania debut. She certainly lived up to the bill.
The delicious, vivacious, delicious, vivacious, scrumptious, whatever word you want to put in place to put her at the top of the food chain. She got that going on. So it's okay. I digress. But overall, this match I thought was great. I thought this was a way to open up Mania. I thought it was a great way to open up Mania. And I was highly impressed by this match, Chris. I really did. I want to see more of these two girls go at it. And we'll get into that as well in the future. But also, which I believe came up next on this card, Chris, if I'm not mistaken, was the last man standing match. Am I correct or incorrect? But we'll talk about that anyway, because that's what we're going to bring it to, because that's also one of the big elephants in the wrestling room last night, Chris. And one of the biggest complaints about it was it took too long. And we all watched the match, and I know I'm a guy, because this is the world, unfortunately, that people pull me back into. I watched the clock in matches. And I said, this is going to be a 30-minute match. I said this in the party I was in. I said, it's going to be a 30-minute match. It was a 37-long-minute match. I didn't think it went too long, and I completely, completely, completely enjoyed the story, Chris.
I haven't been keeping up with the social media scutterbutt, if you will.
Okay, well, no need to. It's my job to do so, okay? Damn it, it's your job to do so, okay?
Yeah, I was about to say, you low-key just buried me, and then you high-key buried me, so thank you for that.
That's what I do. build them up to break them down, okay? Give it to them.
I didn't know there was backlash against this match. How did you not like this match? And yeah, it went long. What the hell else were you going to watch? I mean, what else was on? This thing was going to go 30, whether there was an audience there or not. It was excellent. We talked before we went on air, man. This was a total storyline-driven match. And they delivered. I mean, what else do you want?
I personally do not know, but I know what I know from watching this match. And what I know from watching this match is, yes, I'm going to bring it up one more time, and maybe one more after this, because, damn it, the conversation bring you back there. I'm tired of getting over the crowd wasn't there. I'm tired of getting over the moment that these guys were supposed to feel. I'm tired of that. I erased that from me. It's like, take the men in black, little black little pen, and beep your goddamn eyes out and forget that the crowd's not there. Because I saw a post, it's not mine, it was Nishi's, okay, that read, they say the fans aren't there, but we are the fans. So we may not be in the building, but the fans were still running wild all over social media, text messages, Zoom, whatever it is you use to communicate with your other wrestling buddies. So the fans were there. last night. And I was one of those guys who was there last night in my house. Okay, so as I watched WWE WrestleMania in my house, I was highly entertained, Chris. I'm sorry. They beat each other's ass from pillar to post. And when my children, who, by the way, are very smart, intelligent wrestling fans, a lot smarter than some of you people out there, noticed some things. Christian didn't understand certain things about the night. We'll talk about that as well. And then there's some of my other kids. Okay, but this match, they were all in for. And I believe my oldest son, Mike Knox II, said match of the night. And I have to agree with him. I called match of the night before in the pre-show, and it delivered, Chris.
I agree. I thought this was going to be match of mania. And while I still think the Boneyard match got it, this match was excellent. And let me put it to you like this. So my Amber sister, she was on the phone with us. She didn't have shit else to do because hashtag quarantine, stay indoors. So she downloaded the network for free and watched Mania with us, and we were FaceTiming during Mania. She's not a wrestling fan whatsoever. But when that match came up, we broke down the storyline to her and everything that was going on, and then she watched the lead-up video to the match, and she was completely enthralled with what was going on, and she enjoyed the match. And that's all you need to say. So wrestling fans, you know, come on, get off the computer, stop snorting the cheese whiz into your mouth.
You like the cheese whiz.
You can't leave grandma's basement right now because you can't go anywhere else. But maybe step out on the porch and get you a little sunlight or something like that, and get your heads out your asses. Because that's exactly what that match was supposed to do. That's what wrestling is supposed to do. It's supposed to draw in the non-fan.
Yeah.
That match, that storyline, everything about that drew in a cat, not even a casual, a non-fan.
Right.
So what are y'all bitching about? It was too long. Did you say that about The Godfather? Did you say that about Casablanca? Did you say about Dancing with Wolves? Well, you might have said that about Dancing with Wolves. That's neither here nor there.
Hey, you mean Avatar? That's all Avatar was Dancing with Wolves. So I didn't like the movie. Sorry. Only one Avatar I will ever, you know, the only one Avatar, his name is Aang, the Last Airbender. Okay? And then maybe The Legend of Korra. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris. I just have to get that out there.
No, you're good, but that's it, man. I don't see how people could bitch and moan.
Well, they were. And shout out to the chat right now. We are live on Facebook.com, live on YouTube.com/TheGame. That's THAV1. Hugo from last night. Jeff Murray in the party. Mo_Eden, that's Belt Kings out there, said, Chris, let him hold 20. Jeff said, what's going with a lot of things out there. I'm going to show a couple of shout-outs to the guys up in the chat room that's always there for me, holding us down. Again, guys, this match to me delivered. Orton, Edge, I thought the concerto was coming. They reversed the concerto, and he did it. The look in his eyes reminded me in a reverse way, in a stranger way, and the way when Edge first came back and became, right before the Rated R Superstar became sort of this Edge, where he was pulling his hair out kind of crazy ass because he was losing matches, with the crying and looking like, because this was his boy. This was someone they built. This was the best storyline and wrestling match of WrestleMania. 40 minutes, I don't give a damn. This match delivered, Chris. This was a 5. I don't believe in the star stuff that they do, but it's a 5 out of 5. Whatever title you want to put together, I'm going to give it. Here it is. It's a 5. This match was a 5 out of 5. Ultimo Dragon, all his belts like a belt king that he is. Title matches, Chris.
I concur. They could have won another 40 minutes, especially with some of the shit that they had on the card other than this match. Yeah, they could have won another 40, and I would have been satisfied. This was excellent. I don't understand how, as a wrestling fan.
Wrestling.
You couldn't like this match.
Wrestling.
Wrestling fans. How could you not like this match? I really don't understand. That shit is baffling to me. I don't get it.
Something that is near and dear to my heart are the two girls that stand before you right now. Hey, we want some ballet. Even my son screams it. Oh, I got a smart son there. Way to go, Christian. Daddy taught you well. And Sasha Banks. Oh, Sasha. Snoop Dogg's cousin. I just not want to crit walk all over that. Okay. But this fatal five-way match was great. Four-way match was good. I loved it. I'm going to be honest with you. I did. Because how many times have we waited for them all to jump on one person and beat that person out of the match in the women's division? Even with Nia Jax, they didn't do it like they did last night, I thought. Again, what made night two a tad bit better than night one for me, or what I'm talking about? It's these matches. I think a lot of people's nostalgic, that's WrestleMania, that's wrestling, feeling was the Boneyard match, but wrestling is storyline. And you always say, well, Mike Knox, you just can't have storyline without having, they don't wrestle in the ring. They did them both last night, and I'm telling you why. That's why this is the show for the intelligent wrestling fan. Follow us on Twitter at Mike Knox with three X's because I'm hardcore. The Real CP Platt on Twitter as well, wherever social media is sold, thechairshot.com hashtag. Use your head. But these two ladies, it's time for Sasha and Bayley. And I'm going to tell you why it's time for Sasha and Bayley. We've known this is another great storyline in WrestleMania, Chris. The way they built this, the way they jumped Tamina, they helped each other out. Even when she kneed her in the head and she got her out of it and she watched her get pinned. But she came back in to help her out because it's still about the two best friends. It's them. It's still the Four Horsewomen. They're two of the best that there is, Chris. It's time. The build has been great to this. I love the ending to this match. Some people said it was weird and strange. I loved it. We'll get your comments and your questions. Please, any questions you have below, like my man Jay Majons would say, comment below, brother, if you will, so to speak. Let us know, and we'll get them on the show after we get through this with reviews and our scores. But five, not the match. The storyline, I gave a 5 out of 5. The match, about a 3.75 women's beginnings championship. I loved it. I did. I loved it, Chris. I loved it.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. Yes, storyline-wise, as far as telling the story, it was excellent. It really was. And they've been teasing subtly dissension between Sasha and Bayley for weeks on television now. And then the fact that they were helping each other out, and then Bayley watched Sasha get pinned, but then she still came out and helped out her buddy. Yeah, storytelling, chef's kiss. Match itself, you know, it could have been on any random SmackDown any night of the week. So the match didn't do much for me, but I like the storyline, and I'm interested to see where they're going. Well, I guess we know where they're going.
Yeah.
It's going to end up being Sasha and Bayley, but I'm interested to see how we get there.
Okay, see, this is why I'm glad he's listening from home and not on air today, because people say we might argue too much, but it's funny. Because that's my brother. I love him. Huggo! What's up? I was told last night to stop calling him Huggo because his name is Hugo. But his name is Huggo! Okay? But he says Sasha Bayley part 5001. And as I've always said before, I will always say it again. I'm like that grandfather, right? Because I'll be 45 this year. I'm okay with that if you don't understand what I think and how I, you know, because I don't think like the number 45-year-old wrestling fan anyway. I have all levels of, I'm like an onion, but I'm not Shrek, okay? But did I not get Ric Flair versus Sting 5,001 times? Did I not get Hogan versus Macho Man? If you watch the circuits that many times, and that's the company that didn't do things like that for that long, and they did it. Did I get Flair and Steamboat? Did I get Austin and Rock? Rock and Triple H? They all go 5,001 times when they're the greatest in the company. Come on, guys, let that one go. It's about the story they're telling now and how they perform in the ring when they're telling the story, Chris.
I'm just glad you didn't bring up Cena and Orton, because then I would have had to object. But
okay. See, I was smart enough to know, because that's more than 5,001 times. See, that's about a million times we got Orton and Cena, and we're going to get it one more time before it's all said and done. They're going to be the retirement match to each other, in my opinion. They're the two. That's them two guys that were there. And then, so if you bring me to that, as you bring them in. No, I'm going to hold that. Because not right now. I told you every time I try to get out, you keep pulling me back. I will talk about the tag team match that took place last night, because we will get shots in the future, and I'm excited. We'll talk about that later as well. But the downside for Mania for me last night was these guys. As I said before, and for those who don't understand, and we had a pre-talk, Chris and I, and, you know, as he says, I am that WWE guy, and some of you guys will always text me that, but I would say, I'm the wrestling guy. You just don't understand what I like about wrestling. But what broke my heart was October 5th, I believe it was, 7th, someone correct me, and that's the first ever SmackDown on Raw, first ever SmackDown on Fox, when Kofi Kingston lost his title. Now, again, just to reiterate, for those who are new to the program, for those who've been here know, My stance is that I knew he was going to lose. I knew Brock Lesnar was going to be there. I knew that Cain Velasquez was coming. I wanted to see Cain Velasquez come because I like Brock Lesnar and I like that storyline build. But
I don't like the word, and I hate the word when it comes to them when they're performing. I hate the word botch, because those things happen, and I don't think you can do it to actually be able to call it a botch, because those guys work hard to do things. And I just think that's you always say give respect to the wrestlers in the ring, but you quick to point out a botch. So how you give them respect? You quickly to diss them below, all right? But the thing I didn't like was the fact that I couldn't enjoy none of that because he let Brock Lesnar beat him in 5 seconds. And that brings me to my current point, because to me, it still and always will be for the culture. These brothers and sisters right here, I don't care about the Austin Theory part being in the match. Short notice, I'm going to say. We looked up and said, well, excuse me, this could have been 8-10 days ago before they recorded it. But also, we don't know when it was recorded and at what point it was recorded in the match. We see the match as we're watching them on TV, but we don't know how the matches were actually recorded. So it could be a different feeling. Was it early in the morning? Was it late at night? Was Orlando governor rushing them out the building because they had the clothes set right away? We don't exactly know. So I'm always impartial to judging companies, any company, on situations, because I'm intelligent enough that they know that we're still in hashtag guys, stay safe, stay home, this pandemic of COVID-19. So with that being said, I thought these brothers and sisters didn't get what they would have got, because 80,000 fans and them boys walking through that stadium would have rivaled WrestleMania's as far as an image in the world that would have lasted forever. And I hope these guys can get it next year. I hope it's there again for them next year in LA, which can be even bigger, because I hate to say it, it's LA, okay, versus Tampa. But I love the end of this match for this image right here, Chris.
I agree with you. Everything you said, I agree 100%. Number one, shout out to Montez Ford, because when I get on these airwaves and I talk about the delicious Rhea Ripley and Sasha Banks and his wife and whomever else, he's my trump card. Because my woman goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over that brother. And rightfully so. He's a very good-looking man. He's a handsome man.
Who, Montez? So that's my trump card. Yes. Montez? I think he got that. He makes weird faces to me. He's fun. He's hilarious. He's hilarious to me.
But that's my trump card. So, you know, anytime I'm going wild over somebody, I can pull him out and she'll have
Hey, what I tell you about that, my wife says, and now you know your lady's saying the same thing, is that if a woman does not find these people appealing, they won't be on TV. Say what you want.
Yes.
Okay? It's about, I know you guys say, you know, well Mick Foley, that was some, that, not for every case, but for most cases, it's about who's out there, who's, you know, that face that they can put on Good Morning America.
Yeah, sex sells. It is what it is, male and female. Like, it is what it is. But yeah, I agree with you, though, because that Street Profits gimmick, it's so predicated on fan participation.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have had the 80,000 people, us in that stadium, they would have had them rocking and rolling. And they would have played with some more white babies and everything else. Like, that's how you know they're over, man. Because yeah. White people just randomly hand over their babies to them.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. We missed that image so much from that. But the match itself was Montez, to me, again, one of the best parts about the whole entire Mania was hearing them talk. And hearing Montez over and over, welcome to WrestleMania, because he knew there was no crowd there, was just beyond funny. Because I said before the show, and I said it for those who don't know me as well, I think Montel, we all know wrestling is scripted, okay? And you have to have some acting chops. But we like those who make it look real versus those who make it feel and seem fake. And this is where this point will come up again later in the program. To me, Montel sometimes draws that fine line between is he being, you know, are you making fun of what wrestling was? How I felt The Miz did early in the beginning, and I think a lot of you guys did as well. Okay? When, you know, is that making fun of wrestling or actually being into what you're doing? And I think he has a fine line between the two, Chris.
I've been critical of these brothers, and it's not necessarily
me as well.
Their fault.
Yeah.
But I've been critical of the gimmick.
From the beginning.
You talk about that line.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets a little coonish for me, and I get a little, it's a little cringe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As a black man, I'm like, But these guys have incredible charisma. They really do. And I don't know if WWE knows what they're doing with it. Like, I worry about Montez, because I see him, he could get to that upper echelon. He could get to that next level. He could get to that Rock level, that Cena level, that Stone Cold level. I think he's got that in him. He's handsome. He's charming. He's charismatic. He's super athletic.
And he got a beautiful, beautiful princess wife, queen.
Right on.
Sorry.
What's up, brother? As do we, but BT
does. Yeah. Well, we're talking about EST right now.
Touche. But, and he's big. He's legit 6'4". So, yeah. Again, this guy checks all the boxes, and he could be an upper echelon star for them. But their track record with brothers is spotty at best.
With tag teams. I mean, every time we think somebody's the next tag team, they're not the next tag team anymore. And that's the part that's sad. The Viking Raiders gone. A and P, whatever, you know what I'm talking about, the Razor and them.
AOP.
Yeah, thank you, AOP, always getting hurt or something happening, right? You know, Dash and Dawson, which I thought was the reincarnation of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew. I love everything about those guys. And now they're not there, so this scares me that this might, their moment may be this. Is somebody going to buy this on DVD? You know, they always put WrestleMania on DVD. What's the special thing for DVD? They have their own special. But overall, I thought that the match was blah. Okay? But then, we get to the gritty of the night. And that's what people, in my opinion, didn't quite understand. Everything about last night in this segment was some good shit. Okay? Point blank. Period. Crossing the line between being fake wrestling, right? Playing fake, or the word would be by Mark Henry, okay? You play wrestling or you wrestling? Because these guys are wrestling. What Dolph Ziggler does is wrestling. Is what Montez does is he playing wrestling. I'm not saying he is, but is he? He makes that face. That was the first thing even I came across my mind, but I rose it to the occasion because this is just an intelligent wrestling fan as I am. Very intelligent, and I hope you are too. Clap if you are. Give yourself a bar of heart, which is even better, and maybe even a self high five. I don't care. But in the beginning of this segment, was Cena playing wrestling. He has gotten ripped through this whole entire segment, and I think people don't understand what this segment was and why it was some really, really good shit. Case in point, it's the Firefly Funhouse. I said before the pre-show, could we even see Pee Wee Herman? And what we saw last night, I wouldn't have been surprised if I saw Pee Wee Herman. If that didn't tell you that I knew what we were in store for. We all talked and hoped anyway. Not saying I was right, you were right. I hate that thing. Oh, I called it. And we all called it. We're all intelligent wrestling fans. But, you know, that's why I don't believe in the dirt sheet so much. Not that they're wrong all the time. It's that they're so smart. They put together a story and where it's going. And they post it as if it's fact. And I don't believe that all of it sticks. Okay, so that's why I don't believe in dirt sheets. You and I, anybody who's listening can have a dirt sheet because if you're smart enough, you can just piece what they're doing together and get information from off the web. So I like to get my sources directly from those who are in direct contact with the company in some way. If that makes me a WWE guy, then so the fuck be it. But I knew that we couldn't get the Boneyard match over, right, Chris? We knew if we got the Boneyard match over in the Fire Funhouse, how would that have looked last night?
I don't know. We talked about this before we went on air, and I'm reserving judgment about this segment because I need to go back and rewatch it. I was drinking, you know, we were hoarding.
Who wasn't drinking? Huh? Who wasn't? I watched it too, and I'm gonna say this much, guys, because you've seen the picture before you with Bray. Bray took us through the career, mind, inspiration of John Cena. While telling the story the best way that he possibly could do it. I'm sorry. It was just how he ruined him, how he shouldn't have been there, how he said in the promos, I was given this. People didn't understand the NWO part of that show. It's because the NWO stood for the New World Order of Professional Wrestling. At some point, Cena was the new of the NWO. He was the new. If you wasn't Cena, you couldn't get over. That's why you got Roman, people say. It's what they wanted, that guy, that thing. But they've always been that way. But at this point, you had had enough. You had seen enough. This is why this match was freaking awesome. I'm sorry, guys. While teasing a long-awaiting seal, Cena heel turns, all that stuff was there. None of it was able to be there. This was the greatest thing. This was better than the Boneyard match in a sense. Ooh. In a sense. Now, before you jump down my throat, in a sense, and here is why. The Boneyard match to me was great on different levels because it had AJ Styles and The Undertaker involved in it. Again, not being a taker guy, but always loving. Again, what are we watching with the Firefly Funhouse? What have I said? What have they been trying to do? That Cape Fear thing, they've been trying to replace The Undertaker. On the show last night, DJ said, could this be the last hurrah for Taker with that ride off of the bike? And I said, no, I don't think it was. But I saw part one of Mark Callow's last ride story on WWE Network, and it tells me we may never see Taker in a ring again other than what we got at the Boneyard match, stuff like that. He cannot go anymore, and we all known that, but you love what you saw. Here is why, again, close references. Bray Wyatt has always been supposed to be that guy. There's always somebody. He can be that. The Firefly Funhouse was a mind trip fuck of a storyline of how things get turned around, things get upside down. When he said, take the chair and fix it this time, John, fix it. Even a hole in the ring with the ruthless aggression. That was incredible because that was the beginning of a career that launched this guy into the stratosphere. The whole Saturday Night Main Event thing was about he was the next Hogan. He was the next guy. Whatever it was, he's pumping the iron like Hogan. It was absolutely everything you have shitted on wrestling fans about John Cena and why Bray Wyatt and other people like Bray Wyatt couldn't get over. This was your moment. And if you can't get that, then you can't understand wrestling storyline the way that they're telling a story. I won't say understand wrestling, but the way they're telling a story, the way they've always told stories, this is some of the best things this company has ever done from telling a story. And that's truly how I felt. I've watched it 4 times to make sure I knew what I was saying so I can back it up. But again, my opinion is said of those belonging to Mike Knox and Mike Knox alone. Does not belong to the people on this program or BDSR Networks over at Perfect Plex Talk Radio over at thechairshot.com, hashtag use your head, or Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM or Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Cheap pop, but it's not. This kid from the south side of Chicago that grew up part of his life in the suburban town of Darby, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, about 30, less than 30 minutes away, if that, probably 10 minutes away, to be honest, which is from Philadelphia, that became a man in the first state of Delaware. I have gone from gang banging to hanging out with people on Wall Street to talking podcasts in my own studio. I'm just a wrestling fan, guys, and this was wrestling, Chris. This was wrestling.
Shout out to Jason Mitchell. He says, "What's up, guys? What's up with you, brother? Thank you for tuning in." And Bray Wyatt is just on another level in terms of character development and storytelling. And to be fair, it couldn't have been the Boneyard match because people would have said, oh, well, it's just the Boneyard match part two. Also, y'all don't like Bray's matches that much, wrestling fans. Y'all poo-poo on his matches all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
So if they would have went out there and had another match, y'all would have said it was boring. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. We're talking about this now. And it is polarizing. But that's a good thing. Because controversy creates cash. So it's a good thing that this is polarizing. And again, I'm reserving judgment on this. And I'm going to
go back
on your ways after I watch this a couple of more times. Because my initial reaction was WTF. I don't realize what I saw.
I
need to go back and watch it 3 or 4 times myself.
I've had people, because people for some reason, this is how I know that you respect my opinion. This is how I know I'm intelligent when it comes to wrestling. When people try to point out things and send them to you. When people who don't even really know you, and people you do know just randomly send you DMs, and you're not a girl, you're checking in my DMs, you're not a girl, it's kind of weird, okay? It is, all right? When you send me, oh, look at it, I got like 3 different ones about what Bischoff thought. I got fired in October, and I just saw this for WrestleMania. Then people are all of a sudden now, people are liking Jim Cornette, but just 3 months ago, you hated Jim Cornette. He's a racist bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, wrestling, you pick and choose what you want to love, man. You do. Shout out to Dice Man on there. Said, I said it last night. If you do not know your history, you will not understand the bizarre genius of the Fire Funhouse. Vision. The Husky Harris references. Everything about that was great. And that's truly one of the reasons why I got it up there in my top for making Mania 2 last night, part 2, night 2, better than night 1. I gave this entire segment another 5 out of 5. Ultimo Dragon. With Mike Knox mixing. Somebody made a meme about me one time. Had me on Reddit. Said, I would never walk around a wrestling show with all these belts. That's because you ain't got all these belts, fool.
Plus, they probably couldn't carry all those belts, you know. You got to...
See, my hands are still up, right? See, my hands are still up? You know, can you walk around with belts all day? Because the belt kings know. They're heavy. There ain't nothing light. You're sweaty. You're ruining your gear. You're hugging babies and kissing kids.
Woo!
This was all that, dog. I'm sorry. The doctor... Oh, I get it. I got to still rap to make sure this thing sounds... Go back and watch it, Chris. I need your input more than what you're giving me right now because you didn't understand it. Hugo said he's not understanding it either. Also, what happened last night, to go real fast, the whole Mandy situation with Otis. Yes, good WrestleMania moment to me. People say that was the night, that's what stole Mania. No, Seth Rollins coming out like white Jesus still sold WrestleMania for me. Okay, I like that Otis got the girl, but to notice she didn't give his ass no tongue. There wasn't no real kissing. She didn't give his ass no tongue. Okay.
There wasn't no Bobby Lashley lining.
None of that. Hell, even Bobby Lashley and Lana didn't get nothing. Okay. I like the new gear by Lashley. Personally, shout out to my man, Fulio Jones on Xbox that said, I don't like watching grown men wrestling now in their draws. So I like that Bobby got the gear. You know what I'm saying? I like it. You can sit there for the end that whole thing with him and Lana, how they had that dissension right there. Shout out to Leo Rush, who was on Twitter with the Lashley. I hope they get them two back together. Because to me, that was gold. Okay? You want to get black gold? You get the Street Profits and Bianca Belair, Leo Rush, and Bobby Lashley. Boom. There you go. I don't care what you call them. I'm watching them. But also... What else we missed from last night? We got that out the way. It was on the match.
Okay. Also, though, I just got to say, to be fair, if I was built like Bobby Lashley, I would walk around in nothing but my drawers all the goddamn time. I'm just saying.
Of course it's still trash to you, Hugo, because everything they do is trash to you. It's okay. We've accepted it. I've accepted that.
I apologize, sir, but I think we hit everything
except the main event. And, you know, people want to say they hated this too. Right? They did. And again, went back, so I watched them. Both main events totaled 7 minutes and 36 seconds was both the title, the Universal title, and the WWE Heavyweight Championship. And my thing with that is that Brock has, we talked about that before the show as well, Dice brought it up, having the big guy matches. Brock in the big guy matches, what he does. Again, a match that could have been better with the crowd, and here's why. I don't think the match would have been any different other than the crowd hyping it. It was not hyped by Paul. Everybody talked all WrestleMania except for in this match. Paul was very quiet for Paul. I've seen Paul scream over a crowd ridiculous amount of times through a whole match, but not in an empty arena. So that's what made me think about, when was this film? Was this film first? Was this like Brock saying, let's get this shit over with because I got to go home to my wife and kids? We don't know. So we don't know where that was. So again, that, where's it at? Men in Black and you, erasing the crowd not being there from your mind, they hit hard. This is what they can do. Brock can't do more in this kind of match with big guys. They can't just hold. He did the shoulder thrusts. He did the German suplexes. He did the F5s. You okay? He did the couple knees and then a couple Claymore kicks. That's what these guys would have done in front of a crowd. And because it was hard hitting, it took a bunch. This is a heavyweight fight. They're going at it. These are two big behemoths of men. And at the end of the day, I'm not saying the match was great at all. I liked how McIntyre, the chosen one, looked into the microphone, into the camera, rather, if you will, so to speak, and said thank you. Because it was a long time coming, right? It was a long time coming. And I thought he deserved it for that match. Again, guys, I look at wrestling and I look at the wrestlers. Sometimes I think I have to eliminate the company, if you will, Chris.
You know, that's exactly what happened.
Look at that. Look on that man's face. Look on that man's face, man. Look at his face. He's in tears.
Brock showed up. He did his little segments for the Brawls, and he said, let's get this shit over with so I can get back to my ranch and my compound with my wife and my kids. That's exactly what happened. They got that shit out the way. They probably recorded that shit. That was probably the first thing that they recorded before everything else. But, I mean, this is a match. It did suffer from a lack of crowd. But let me say something to y'all wrestling fans, okay? You complained and said Edge and Randy Orton was too long. Now you're complaining and saying the title matches were too short. So what is it, man? You know what I mean? Is it Uchi Wally Wally or is it one mic? I mean, what do you want?
I want one mic. I want one mic. I want one mic.
I do too.
I need one mic.
I'm just saying, man, y'all just want to complain just for the sake of complaining. Yeah. And I mean, there are some legitimate criticisms that you could make against WWE, but come on, man. It was hard-hitting. It was in your face like a can of mates. Is it burning? Now see, now you're learning. You know, this is what this was. Two big guys, like Mike said, beating the holy hell out of each other. Yes, it would have benefited from a crowd. Yes, was it the greatest match in the history of wrestling? Of course not. But it was what it was. It was what it needed to be. Both title matches. I actually enjoyed the Braun versus Goldberg better than this.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't. I thought this was, I ain't going to lie. If I was there, I'd have screamed for this, Chris. I'm sorry. We were supposed to be there. I thought this match was heavy hitting. I really did. And now we're just, got not mine, Nietzsche's right there. Two down, one to go. Jinder Mahal has the title. Now Drew McIntyre has the title. This man has some kids. Can he get the belt so they can truly be a one-man band, baby? All right? Let Heath Slater get some go. Can Heath get some go? Come on.
Oh, you could get some entertaining TV out of that, man.
Absolutely.
Give him like a month storyline.
Yes.
That's the title match.
Jinder's coming back. Jinder's coming back. Okay? And so, overall, I gave night two 4 out of 5. I'm going to say it. Rated R Superstar Spinner Belts. Because this thing is still spinning, guys. We don't know what's happening right now. As Martin Loma would say, they keep spinning. Beep! They keep spinning. Because I ain't going to say that word on live on air, okay? But they keep spinning, okay? This thing is going around and around and around. And I'm like, I don't know where it's going to go, where it stopped. No one knows. But I know SummerSlam, if everything is healthy in this world, it could be big. And I think with the storylines that were told, with who has the titles that were told, again, people, it may not be who you thought should win or who you think should win. Because listen, Charlotte Flair, the greatest women's wrestler of all time, shouldn't have won. She shouldn't have won. But she did. I'm not complaining about it. I don't think Bayley should have won that match. But you know what? I didn't care who won that match. The storyline trumped it. Wrestling's about storyline. I'm giving last night a 4 out of 5 rated R superstar titles. You say you didn't like part two, but did you didn't like Roman? I mean, I'm sorry. You didn't like Orton and Edge? You didn't? You didn't like the Otis thing that you guys were all, oh, Otis. Y'all were cheering it. You didn't like, really? I know Charlotte lost. You didn't like Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte in that ring? Really? You didn't like the storyline that, hey, we want some Bayley and Snoop Dogg's cousin Sasha Banks crip walk all over the place? Y'all didn't enjoy that storyline? Two was better than one. Because two is always better than one. You don't believe me? According to Dave Chappelle, right? Your girl leaves. You can't wait. You're happy. Your mama leaves for samosa, y'all. Ooh, how much time you got, mama? And you go ahead and you're carting yourself over the computer screen. You got to clean it up all over the place. But if you got a woman with you, or whatever it is you like, you ain't got to clean up nothing. Just get a towel and wipe her off. WrestleMania was great. I loved it. It was WrestleMania in my house. I was in my house, and I loved it. Again, it's not for everybody. But just because you don't get what you want, don't make it bad. Chris?
Again, we talked about this before we went on air. I liked night one much better than night two, but the bottom line is it was still WrestleMania. It gave me something to do. It gave me something to watch. I got to commune with, you know, some of my loved ones, my lady and her sister. She's part of the crew. We got to commune and talk a little shit, and it was cool for what it was. I enjoyed the Orton Edge thing. I enjoyed McIntyre and Brock. Some of the matches weren't hitting, and they would have been better in front of a crowd, but there was good storytelling, and here's the dirty little secret, wrestling fans. Don't tell anybody. The matches actually don't matter. Because theoretically, by the time the match happens, I already have your money.
Every year.
That's the dirty little secret.
Every year. I already booked my trip for LA. Room is booked. Okay? Room is booked. And I ask wrestling fans, and Hugo, just for the record, you don't get on my skin. You just represent a certain demographic of wrestling fans who are not afraid to have balls. You have balls, my brother. You have marbles the size of grapefruits. These other ones do not. So that's why I like it, because I can go back and forth and still have the most utmost respect for one another. But you represent that demographic, whether you want to admit it or not. To me, you're not a wrestling fan. When you put stuff like House Show of Mania and Wrestle No Mania and all that kind of stuff behind y'all, and I see, oh, it's not WrestleMania because the crowd would, no, it was WrestleMania. How come it was? Because of what? I don't get that. I will always state this much. I've always said I didn't like TNA. But I respect the guys in the back. Because the stories they told, I couldn't grab onto. Now, the other TNA days, you had the Main Event Mafia and them guys in there. Of course, they stole great stories, right? But, you know, certain parts of TNA, what they got now, you're talking about, oh, there was no crowd there last night. You watch TNA. Oh, there was no crowd there last night. You watch Ring of Honor. There's no crowd there. You was watching AEW Dynamite. I didn't hear y'all complaining then. Why was this any different? That was Dynamite. Those were Ring of Honor shows. Those were Impact shows. You respect the wrestlers so much that you call everything even when they mess up a botch. You respect the wrestlers so much that you disrespect their payday. Yes, and outside the box, because I'm not always in the box under the wrestling umbrella. I'm a man in this world. Yeah, we know there's the pandemic. They shouldn't have had it. Those guys shouldn't have been there. Taker's old. And what's this stuff I'm watching that I would have seen on Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse? You know, what's this? The fat guy gets the girl that looks that good and that hot and that outfit she had on? Like, oh, they just going to beat up on the black girl? A lot of things you could take out outside the culture. Tell me you for the culture, Mike Knox. Kofi Kingston had his hair all pinked up and stuff. What was that about? You can always pick on those things. But if you start to pick on those things, you take away the Mexicools. That was blatantly disrespectful. But they were funny as hell. They didn't care. They got a check. Have you ever noticed the people that complain about the WWE, the machine, only complains when they're not getting a check? When they're getting that check, they ain't saying nothing. And they had come back for that check again, Chris. Your final grade for WrestleMania before we talk about anything that's next.
My final grade for WrestleMania. Night one was stronger than night two. I'm going to
say
what I said yesterday. I'm going to give it the 4 John Cena spinner U.S. title belts. It was completely unnecessary, but a nice touch. And I also liked 2 3.5-hour shows as opposed to sitting there in one stadium for a work shift worth of wrestling. I like that a lot better, too. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to run that back next year as well. Like, New Japan with Wrestle Kingdom kind of set the template of how that could work. And, you know, we might be getting 2-night WrestleManias from now on. This might turn into Woodstock.
That's why I'm glad you brought that up, and that's where I was going next, actually. I disagree, respectively, Chris. I think there's too much money involved in WrestleMania, NXT TakeOver, Hall of Fame, being on different nights. That's why it's a WrestleMania weekend, because every day there's something to do. It's already broken up. For those who say, oh, WrestleMania's broken, like you just said, it should be broken up into 2 nights. It's already broken up over a weekend of 4 days between Hall of Fame, TakeOver, WrestleMania, Raw after SmackDown, and SmackDown after Mania. Or you know what I'm trying to say. So they're already broken them down. Okay, and the next thing they're discussing out there also is that how they were saying how you can order it on Fight TV and if they're leaving the network. Not so fast. I know what you know your messengers are saying and your what is wrestling guys are saying and things like that are out there saying, but again, let's put on our intelligent hats, guys. Why lose money? We can just add more money. They're not giving up on the network if you already got it. They didn't know people can get it for free to watch whenever you want to with a dummy email account like Hugo said yesterday. They're not dumb. We're not dumb. But what they're doing is they're offering. I'll tell you right now. I have, in my house, I have Sling TV, Spectrum streaming services, and whatever streaming services is on my TV. Because I have Disney Plus, Hulu, and right? Those are services. If you have those services and you want to watch WrestleMania, you can order it. That doesn't give up on the network. That gives them more money by saying you don't have to come to their network if all you want is WrestleMania. That's genius in a sense. Just like the Firefly Funhouse was genius, Chris. I don't think those things are going to happen. Those are why I think they're not going to happen.
Well, this is what happens, though, when you have a corporation. Because the corporation's goal is sustainable and consistent growth. And the problem with that is there's not a living organism on the face of this planet that has that type of trajectory. So what ends up happening sometimes is that you end up eating your own tail and cannibalizing your own business because the bottom line is the bottom line. Yeah, they're not giving up on the network, but the network cannibalized their pay-per-view business. It was a genius idea, but it is what it is. So now they've got to find new revenue streams because they've got to appeal to the shareholders and they have to keep bringing in revenue. And that's a way to bring in extra revenue is to sell the pay-per-views to different streaming services. I don't necessarily agree with the idea, but it is what it is. I understand. And this is the thing, wrestling fans. If you look at WWE, WWE is not a wrestling company, okay? They're not. It's not. And if you look at it as a business, and less as a wrestling company, you might not necessarily agree with all the decisions they make, because Lord knows I don't. But I understand from a business perspective, from a business aspect. I understand a lot of the stuff they do. You don't always have to agree, but you'll understand.
It's going to happen. It's there. So they didn't advertise it last night. They didn't advertise it at all during the whole entire weekend. Will we see Raw tonight? Is there a Monday Night Raw tonight? Is it a Raw after Mania? It can't be, right? Like, who are you going to bring back? Nia Jax? Is that going to hype the no crowd audience? Raw after Mania was made by the fans in Miami at WrestleMania 28 at return of Brock Lesnar against Cena. That was the beginning of Raw after Mania. Everybody remember that year, right? That was the birth. That was the birth of the Yes Chant that started in Miami. Okay, so you can't really have a Raw after Mania without that crazy European addition to the American wrestling crowd, Chris.
So according to reports, they've got shows recorded through April 9th, which would take us through this Friday SmackDown, and then after that, it gets a little dicey. That's what I find interesting, because are they just going to shut it down? Which I kind of hope they would. They're actually in a very good position to just shut it down.
Right.
Mania, it was the end of the season. Shut it down. Let all the wrestlers go home. Let the writers sit at the crib and come up with some good ideas. And let's hit the reset button. One thing about this whole shutdown is that it gives not just wrestling, but us in general. And I hope you guys are taking advantage of this at home as well. It has given us an opportunity to sit the hell down and hit the reset button and start over. And I hope they take advantage of this. Now, they're in a much more advantageous position as opposed to AEW, because they literally have tens of thousands of hours of content. And if they were to throw on an old Raw on Monday, is an old Raw really going to do a worse number than a new Raw from a closed studio audience or with no studio audience? It's not going to make much of a difference. So I would like them to shut it down, just throw on some replays, throw on some cool old school matches or something like that. Have some fun with it, man. Have a Best of Austin versus McMahon night or a Rock night or something like that. And let everybody go home, recharge. We'll work this thing out as a country and then come back and start over.
Well, that's what's going to probably more than likely happen. So let's see what today turns out to be. But again, I know the wrestling community will, you know, judge it, cut it down, rip it apart, and tear down what they claim they love so very, very much. Before we get up out of here, go ahead and handle some of these questions. You can go ahead and look over there as well, Chris, and help me out here. Some of the comments from the peanut gallery, if you will, so to speak. Jacob Marshall checking in saying, true, yeah, that way they're on their case in point when they went to Saudi Arabia. What was that in reference to? I just came up, first thing I saw, so I read it. I got to go ahead and look at what you guys were talking about. Always WWE guy. I'm not sure about that. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm a wrestling guy. They're the guys who run things for what it's worth. But again, you don't know me enough to know or you haven't been around me long enough to know how I felt about WCW and NWA and those kind of federations and organizations, and how I love UWF and those kind of things. Now, I'm a wrestling guy, and there's a certain type of wrestling that I love that, you know, and there's a certain thing I think comes with being a wrestling fan. It's like you go to go see Marvel, right? It's okay for you to suspend your belief about everything we learned. What do you say in Avengers Endgame, right? So Back to the Future and all the other thing we learned was bullshit? Right? They changed what they thought going back to the future was, right? Come on, right? You suspend your belief for those kind of things, but when it comes to wrestling, you can't. It's all the same thing, guys. It's entertainment, okay? And so if you look at it that way, like, you know, come on. What else? Anything else we got over there?
Somebody said still trash. I didn't see who that was.
They're laughing at we want to explain that comment, brother. You got about a little Montez, the next Rock? Rock-like?
He's got that level of charisma, man. Obviously, I'm not saying he's going to be Rock, but he has that level of charisma. He's got the tools. He's handsome. He can talk. He's got charisma. He's a super athlete, and he's big. He checks all the boxes. But then again, I was also on record saying that Sasha Banks could have been the Rock level crossover, but okay. They just fumbled the ball. They fumbled the bag with that.
Somebody said they did say Raw tomorrow during the show. Okay, I missed that part. There is a Raw Side note, Edge action after the match showed that he did love Randy and kind of gave Shane versus Rick feel from The Walking Dead, where Shane forced Rick to had to end him. I like that reference, actually. At the end, Edge was forced to do the same thing to Orton. And that's why I said that match to me, that match to me stole Mania. We talked about it coming into Mania that it was still Mania, and it lived up to it. And for me, I'm not going to let people say me that it wasn't Mania, because it was. It wasn't what we know it as WrestleMania, but they can call it what they want to call it. You can feel about it how you want to feel about it. I can't change that for you. But for me, it was Mania. Just a different rendition of it, Chris. Final thoughts.
For the most part, man, everything that happened this weekend, I feel like I would have felt the same way about it had there not been a crowd. For probably about 95%.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, there's some matches that I loved. There's some matches, and there were some that just didn't hit or they disappointed. How's that different from any other year?
I don't know, especially when you got the greatest thing I've ever seen in professional wrestling storyline history. Okay. Well, in the last 20 years, let me say that. Let me dive it back a little bit, all right? Because still nothing ever beats the Four Horsemen following Dusty Rhodes with the camera. Noting about them following him, what they were going to do to his ass. And then actually on camera, assault his ass and could have went to jail. Back then, no one said they should have went to jail, but that was criminal. Okay, when they did Dustin Rhodes and broke his arm in the door. Everybody go back to my episode where I interviewed the great Hall of Famer Tully Blanchard and told him point blank, I hated you when y'all did that to Dusty. You know what I mean? And he's like, you're supposed to hate us. And I did. Okay, so up there with that, I thought this Firefly Funhouse, again, guys, it's the Firefly Funhouse. You can accept the fact that this man has an alter ego named The Fiend, but you can't accept the fact that he brought him into his psychotic world and John couldn't beat John. John's always serious. He wasn't serious because he was in the Firefly Funhouse and he couldn't be. It may have came off as corny acting. It was supposed to. I also said that it would be like the Southern, what was the thing again? Not just the Cape Fear aspect of it, but the, what was that wrestling show that they pulled off on the network for a while?
Southpaw Wrestling.
And that's what I got. I got some Southpaw Wrestling out of it. I'm sorry. It was, go back and watch it. I've watched it several times. I'm watching this more than my son telling the kids, Dad's watching that Bray Wyatt thing again, and I just don't understand it. Because he can't. He can't understand it. I mean, I love my son. He just turned 12, right? And he's very intelligent with wrestling. But, you know, it's a certain thing. You have to know the history. And they don't follow it like we follow storyline. My kids know all the matches. They know who won. I can pull him in here right now. He will tell you who won the Hell in a Cell 2013. And I couldn't. Okay, but he could. But I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Any final thoughts, Chris, before we get up out of here, man?
We're going to put a pin in this Firefly Funhouse segment because I'm going to go back and watch it a few times, and we're going to revisit this. So this is not the end. Stay tuned for part two of the Firefly Funhouse. Please and thank you. Thank you, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you is what it should be. I say this much, man, because like I said, I had a very very, 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 very. Can I say very that many times on air? Yeah, of course I can. Very, 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 very good time. And I did with WrestleMania. I think everyone should take the same note that I took from that. I loved it. I did. I loved everything about it. And I think you should enjoy everything about it as well, guys. I really, really, truly did. With that being said, any final words one more time? Shout out, get your Instagram out there and the chair shot information, because you got another show you do as well.
Yes, I do. So Pod is War. If you, it's First Take meets Pardon the Interruption with the volume turned up to 15. We take the five hottest topics in the wrestling world and we go back and forth with them. It debuts on the chair shot at thechairshot.com on Thursday evening. So please check that out. Also, if you have some time, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up an official ChairShot t-shirt. We've got something for everybody. My lovely shirt, Jesus did the job and his dad is the promoter. So if somebody don't want to do good business, you let them know the biggest baby face of all time did the job and his dad was running the territory. Booking the territory, if you will. So they have no excuse. There's also hashtag journalism, so you can rebel against the Mellers and the Meltzers and the Kellers and everybody out here in the world. Save Tag Team Wrestling. Baron Corbin Sucks, and a lot of other cool designs. So please check that out. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Again, I'm on Twitter at TheRealCFlat. I'll let you boy. And I want all the smoke. So bring it.
Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. Peace.
We about to give y'all something special.
You ready?